So I don't know if you remember, last time I spoke, I asked how your hearing was. Anyone remember? I asked you how your hearing was. I'll just repeat that a little louder. And we considered just briefly how do we hear the Lord? It's a question that had come up fairly recently, and I thought it was a good question to explore a little, because we can easily get into a position where we just presume a lot of things, and we can use language and talk about things in particularly in a Christian context, and presume that we all know what we're talking about, and we all understand a particular phrase in the same way, perhaps. And sometimes, when you have conversation just one-to-one and small groups, you suddenly realise that actually that may not be the case. So, for example, if I said, the Lord said to me, blah, 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 I would hazard a guess that in the context of just this relatively small group of people, you might be interpreting that in a certain way, and you might understand that to mean, for example, I'd read my Bible and the Lord had spoken to me through his word. Or some of you, perhaps in your church, Matt, might take that to mean, I'd suddenly kind of been arrested as I was on my way to Morrison's, and the Lord had stopped me in my tracks, and I'd almost, sometimes you hear this sort of phrase, that it was almost as if it was an audible voice. Or maybe if you're more into nature, you've gone for a long meandering walk through the countryside, and you were just sensing the magnificence of God's presence and his glory in nature, and you came away from that walk reinvigorated, faith was sharpened, and you might be saying, yeah, the Lord really spoke to me. Or you might say, the Lord really ministered to me, or something along that line. But you see, if I say, the Lord spoke to me, or the Lord said to me, just those examples, it could be all kinds of different interpretations. So I thought it was a really useful aspect of our faith to look into this question, how do we hear the Lord? And then I don't know if you remember, I'll just remind you in case you didn't. Not just how do we hear the Lord, but then what do we do, which is perhaps one of the most important things we'll ever ask ourselves. What do we, if we say we've heard the Lord, what do we then do about or with what we've heard from the Lord? And I suggested last time we might look into some warnings and dangers. This is in Hebrews. Hopefully we'll get there this morning. Specifically related to this faculty, this spiritual faculty of hearing. I believe with all my heart that when the Lord raises us from the dead, which is great, isn't it? I don't tire of just restating what's happened to us if we're believers. So when the Lord raises you from the dead, which is fairly miraculous, I'm glad you're all totally comfortable with that and just taking it in your stride. But when he raises us from the dead, he gives us capacities spiritually that we didn't have before that time. And I believe it's life in all its fullness. But he gives us the capacity to hear him. He gives us the capacity by faith to see him. We've just been singing of our spiritual sense of sight, haven't we? May I never lose the wonder of the cross. And then it's, may I see it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost. Well, can I just point out, just sort of chronologically, in time, none of us were actually there. And even in Galatians, Paul talks to the Galatian believers. I know that's a favourite one of you, but Paul says, doesn't he, that before whose eyes Christ was... Finish it off for us, Dad. Before whose eyes Christ was evidently set forth. Well, Paul is there talking about this spiritual capacity by faith to see. Actually, in that context, what he was talking about was him being there, flesh and blood, preaching the gospel and living it out before them. And that was Christ being evidently set forth, wasn't it? That's phenomenal. Matt, you shine, my friend. Christ in you. Not just you, before you let that go to your head. You. Actually, in the context, that you is you, the body. It's not individuals. It's you, the people of God. Christ in you. Glory to his name. How wonderful. So when we go into our workplaces, when Dad goes to India, or before that, Devi Road, over the water, when you're with your family, when you're in the post office, I could go on, every ordinary or extraordinary, it doesn't matter, whatever circumstance we're in, if you are Christ's, he is in you. Bless the Lord, that's phenomenal. That's truly phenomenal. Christ in you. Glory to his name. So he gives us the faculty to hear. He gives us the faculty to see. I believe he gives us the faculty to taste. You can think of scriptures, can't you? I'll give you one, if you can't. Taste. Hey, there we go. I knew it was coming. That's the one, isn't it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Your word is like honey on my lips. Now, obviously, that's not physically, but it's speaking of an enlivened existence, fullness of life in Christ. Taste, sight, hearing. What are the other senses? I wasn't meaning to do this, sorry, so we might have part three. That's okay. Touch, yes, touch. I think of that. You're going to help me now, Dave. I know you are. Don't let me down. I'm going Blue Book, Wesley Hymn, all the five senses. Is that happy the soul whom God delights? Oh, it's just... But in that hymn, isn't that right, Dave? My senses, and it's gone through, if you read it, I'll get homework, get a Blue Book, don't rob it, borrow it. Read 75 in the blue, and all five senses, spiritually, Wesley is touching on something as a raised from the dead man. He's had his eyes opened and he's seen that all five senses are enlivened and awakened in Christ. My senses all thy love receive. Glory to God. I feel the life his wounds impart. There's another Wesley one. I've moved on. I can't help it. You know, people spot me. If I go out sort of on the road a little, totally different context to the fellowships, and someone came up to me afterwards and says, I don't know you, but I think I know where you've come from. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you were quoting Wesley. And I thank the Lord for what rich heritage. Just singing the hymns together. Seriously, wow, love the words. You know I like words. Yeah. I feel the life his wounds impart. I feel my Saviour in my heart. Well, that's the sense, isn't it? And what's the other one? Smell. Smell the sweet odour of his name. Yeah, I smell the sweet odour of his name, and all wrapped up in love I am. Now you can think about smell, not just Wesley hymns. What about the fragrance of Christ? There's another metaphor, not just light shining, but perfume emanating. To one, the smell of life, to the other, smell of death. You see? So hearing, how's your hearing? That's what I asked you last time. How's your hearing? Is it okay? We talked very briefly about a key word in Deuteronomy, which is the word for hear. And I mentioned to you it occurs 92 times. And just to get the context again for us as we move through, it doesn't just mean hear. So when you say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That word hear actually means to hear, to listen. Do you remember we distinguished a little? We find that day by day, the difference between just hearing the words and actually listening to what's said. Very interesting, isn't it? So it means, it's so rich, it means to hear, to listen, to pay attention, to take heed, to understand. This is key. Wrapped up in that, the richness of the meaning is all of that, plus to actually be willing to obey. Isn't that interesting? So when it's hear, O Israel, it's all of those things. Hearken. Thanks, Gillian. You mentioned that to me last time, didn't you? Thank you. Hearken. Let's add that one in. Bless the Lord. And I just mentioned last time that all these various aspects, shades of meaning, a far cry from a sense of blind obedience, if you like. Just kind of actually, what the Lord is constantly urging and calling for and beseeching and longing and interceding and preaching is authentic, meaningful, deep, intimate relationship with Himself. Isn't that right? Glory to God. And this is the start of this is seriously, it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. And goes on in a great adventure of faith. And this time on earth is like a vapor, the Bible says. It's like a vapor. It's a brief moment. Shakespeare for you. Can I just throw him in? Out, out, brief candle. Sobering, isn't it? It is actually, I remember, Matt, I don't, how old are you now? Sorry to make it public. Thanks for being so honest. I remember when I was 18, being in hospital, in a brain, neurological ward. And they didn't know what was up with me, and they were doing all kinds of scans, and I heard them discussing all kinds of things that might be the problem. And my, they became my friends, and some of them went in the time I was there, and I was 18. And I remember thinking, wow. And I remember reading in James. I remember reading other places. And the things that stood out to me, probably because of the context I was in, was the brevity of life, the fragility of life, and the eternity of the solid word of God. I remember it, clear as anything. What a lesson to learn. Praise God. Wonderful. Hear, listen, be willing to obey. Deep, authentic, meaningful relationship of intimacy, knowledge, shared experience, friendship. I hope you remember those things. I'm just refreshing your memory. So we then touched very briefly on how do we hear God speaking. And I suggested primarily the Word of God under the inspirational, effectual application of the Holy Spirit of God. Firstly, the Word of God, Christ Jesus our Lord, the living Word. I'm just going to go through very briefly, you don't have to turn for the sake of time, because I want to get onto some warnings. Okay? Hebrews 1, you can read, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So it's clear that He has spoken. It says in times past by the prophets, etc. In these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. So there's no doubt that God has spoken clearly, definitely, and He's done it by His Son. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Words He spoke, life He lived. The death, the resurrection, glory to His name, the ascension, Bless the Lord. Now, we thought about it even this morning. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. In session, if you like. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the final word of God the Father. Glory to his name. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Jesus Christ, the one and only, the word of God, the living word. Bless the Lord. And may our lives preach Christ. Not just here in this context. That's just a tiny little smidgen of life, isn't it? I'm talking about at all times, everywhere, in any situation, whether we're feeling great or not, in sickness and in health, yeah, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, till death reunites us, glory to his name. May Jesus Christ be preached. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And we're in this together. It's not just Dad doing some kind of... He's like in the Marines, isn't he? It's not. It's Matt. You look like you're a Marine. It's all of us. Don't limit God to your physical incapacity and aches and pains. Can I give you a little tip? Don't hug a holly tree in shorts and a t-shirt when you're trying to prune it. This was me yesterday and I'm paying for it today. I confess I've had to take some anti-inflammatories. My arms are all... I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I just told you that either. Sorry? Aches and pains, that's it. Yeah. Other than that, I'm feeling great. I saw the error of my ways and like, even though it was a hot day, a lovely day yesterday, you should have seen me second go. Tracky bottoms, wellies. Cut my nose. They got me. Don't limit God to how weak you may be physically. I just keep remembering that Lilius Trotter. You said it once in a brothers' meeting years ago. I don't know if you remember. You were quiet the whole meeting and then you just said, all God requires of us is our weakness. I've never forgotten that. That was like the Lord speaking to me. Was it an audible voice? Yes, it was. Sounded just like my dad. Bless the Lord. He can speak to us like that when we're not studying the scriptures specifically. How wonderful. So let's have a look. So the first one, the word of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, the living word. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father, this was a unique occurrence. Do you remember what he said? And it's recorded in the scriptures for us. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Christ. This is the Father. Hear him. This is my word. Hear him. Bless the Lord. And in John 10, my sheep, this is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Is that clear? So, first way I suggest, it's clearly, it's Christ. Christ. Praise God. May we ever in this group or wherever we're involved, may we exalt and honour and magnify the name of Jesus. May we preach Christ. Bless the Lord. Number two, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Inspired and applied by the Holy Spirit. This is the written word. So if we think of Christ as the living word, can we think of the scriptures as the written word? 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17. You know these scriptures, but they're so precious, and I'm going to read them out to you. The Holy Scriptures, says Paul, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a commendation of the scripture. And the majority of what was being referred to there was the old, what we now know as the Old Testament. Obviously, I mean, that was early on, wasn't it? Paul writing to Timothy. So we hadn't quite got to the stage of 66 books. Don't you love it that you can have a library in a nice cover? Kindle's great. I do love this, though. I know. That's probably why I do. It's probably genetic, isn't it? But how wonderful that we've been given. It's just amazing. You can read the history of it. It's a whole different topic. But how people have laid down their lives, how people currently are laying down their lives to translate the scriptures so that people would have access to the holy written word of God. Glory to his name. And over the years, it's been contested. It's been attacked. It's been sought to be undermined. Still going strong. Glory to God, how he's able, even when great opposition comes against him and his word. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank God for his written word. I want to be a man filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the holy word of God. Do you? Obviously, if you're a woman, please just change that. You want to be a woman, young man, young woman, older man, older woman. You understand? All of us. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Word of God. We mustn't get imbalanced. See, the danger is, even in great powerful moves of God by the Holy Spirit, wonderful things happening and everyone go, whoa, and that's great. And then, and you can read about it. There can be a tendency to go off onto all kinds of manifestations and signs and moving away. I've heard people actually say, I heard someone once say, I don't need to really read the Bible and study that. I just listen out for the Spirit of God. And I thought, that's dodgy. Sorry to put it. I just thought, that is so, so dodgy. If we have that attitude, we need to guard against it. We are opening ourselves up for just being led off up this garden path and that garden path. And you get off the solid ground. Christ, the living word. Christ revealed primarily, we could say even Old Testament, I love that, the Old Testament, Christ concealed, the New Testament, Christ revealed. Is that, someone says that, I think. But the whole word, all wrapped up in Christ. Bless the Lord. So, him and none other, and the Holy Scriptures inspired and applied by the Holy Spirit, the written word. Listen to this from Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that has a great companion verse in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's almost the same that comes after each passage. So that's what I was talking about. The scriptures clearly exhort us to be men and women of the word and men and women of the spirit. If I can put it like this, in equal measure. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Three, the word of God through his people, the body of Christ in word and deed. I've called this the communal word. Listen again. Let the word from that passage I've just quoted. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You know, it's such a precious privilege to gather together as the people of God. And there's such, potentially, such a richness of sharing together the Word of God. Like, can I put it like this? And I know it's really important to do what we've done specifically and deliberately. But even as we're just gathered together, the Lord is able, if you like, to break fresh bread amongst his people and feed and nourish. And the amazing thing is, when you think of that wonderful picture, in a context like our meetings, it's as if the one loaf is there just freshly baked. There's nothing quite like that, is there? Have you, Chan's on a patisserie course, and just the smell of fresh artisan bread. She's talked to me about it. So wonderful. Fresh, nothing stale about it. But that we can break together. Dear brother, Peter, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Just so bless me as I'm thinking of Dad in particular. It was just like that water. Yeah. Even as you said it, it wasn't just the words. It was ministered by the Holy Spirit to my own heart. I'm sure to Mum and Dad. I've moved from bread to water. How did that happen? But anyway, still fresh, flowing, life-giving. The communal word of God, how wonderful. Teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, in Corinthians it talks about diversities of gifts. Wonderful. May we not just sit back and think, oh, we're historically, if you like, a fellowship where the Lord's moved and there's a freedom for the expression of gifts. May we not sit back. May we think, what a prospect. Listen, let me just very briefly read it to you. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Did you hear that? The manifestation of the Spirit in this context of gifts and the operation of the Holy Spirit moving among His body, His people. So if the Spirit gives to one, and then it's, if you like, just broken and shared, it's multiplied, it's for the profit of all. We've witnessed that in measure this morning, haven't we? Even as Matt was sharing earlier, I was thoroughly blessed, encouraged. I thought, a young fella, it's okay, we're friends, aren't we? But I was thinking back to how the Lord had challenged me with things, and it's a real wake up, isn't it? Suddenly thrown into a new context, and I thought, bless God for a young man willing to stand. I just said to the Lord in response, what I heard, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to stand like He's doing in my work. I wasn't just sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, he'll learn a thing or two. I felt like I was right at the cusp of something when he was talking. And I felt like I wanted to, what do you do with what you hear? Lord, use me. Lord, we just sang, take this life. Let it become your throne. The danger is we can get all sort of analytical. Oh, yeah, let it become. Well, a while ago, Lord, you know I made you my throne. And what do you mean? And we can just think ourselves out of the, Lord, you're speaking to me. I'm responding to you. Fresh. Fresh baked bread. Hallelujah. The word of God through His people. I think the Lord may be wanting us to visit the warnings at another time. Bless, look, let's be open, shall we, to the moving of the Holy Spirit in this way. Gifts. Maybe you're sitting on a gift that the Lord has given you. And sometimes, obviously, logistically, lots of people. But I just encourage you. You don't enter in. Don't be worrying about, oh, it's all polished. And maybe there's something fresh that the Lord has given to you. And you've never just taken that step and brought it out. Now, I'm not suggesting, obviously, the oral gifts are just some. There are other gifts. But I just encourage us all to seek the Lord for a, if you like, a further outworking of His great heart in this regard, a sharing of the communal word in whatever way that is, to a greater measure. And it's for the profit. This is the best thing, isn't it? It's for the profit of all. How wonderful. Let the Lord challenge us in those things, shall we? The word of God through his people, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Can I just say, just very briefly at this point again, so grateful. Dave, Brian, Mark, Roger's gone to Africa, hasn't he? Pete, he's not here this morning. You know, even in the context of our eldership, amongst the body of the church, we've been so richly blessed. I feel like there's a multitude of counsel, and it says in the Proverbs there, there's safety. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just pray for one another. Keep praying for one another. The danger is always there that we can just sit back and, oh, you know, No, the Lord wants us to press on. Pray for one another. Be alert. Enter into what the Lord has for us all in greater measure. Praise his name. And just very briefly, fourthly, the word of God, God's creation. I always think of our brother Richard when I think of this aspect. He loves a walk, and often he's got up and shared about the wonder of how God's creation has so blessed him. I remember you talking about your trip to America and the magnificence of the Grand Canyon, and just his how the Lord ministers to him in that regard is such a blessing to me, just hearing how the Lord's blessed him. It doesn't mean we've all got to go and walk in the Grand Canyon. But there's something wonderful, isn't there, about the glory of God in creation. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. That's a sobering passage from Romans, isn't it? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's from the Psalms. Just tastes, if you like, of how God's creation, if we've got ears to hear and eyes to see, can speak to us of his glory. Wonderful. Do you think me hugging the holly tree was the Lord speaking to me? Initially I thought no, that was just me being silly. And you know what? This morning I woke up, I was feeling all, my arms all sore. And I wasn't even thinking, I just thought, oh, you're so, sometimes you're just so silly, Dave. This is me in my own head. And then out of the blue, I embraced the whole world that was full of thorns and prickles, and embraced all the pain. And it wasn't just shorts and t-shirt. I was there, just a whisper out of nowhere. And all my silliness was... But you see, that was just through me trying to do the big holly for the sake of the neighbour who'd made a comment. See how he can just whisper? Now listen to this from Spurgeon. The last one is providence. I mentioned that last time, so you got five. But listen to this, I love this. Creation and providence are but the whisper of his power, but redemption is its music, and praise is the echo which shall yet fill his temple. Isn't that wonderful? So we can hear God, if you like, through creation and through providence. Circumstances of our lives. Spurgeon suggests that's just like the whispers of God. Oh, I love his finest whispers, don't you? Yes. Just the whispers. But redemption. Christ preached. Glory to his name. That's the grand music turned up loud. So how do we hear? I hope that's helpful. Food for thought. Let's ponder these things together. Let's tune our ears in to hear him deliberately. And let's look carefully. Maybe next time we'll look how, what we do with what we hear. Praise God. Let's close there, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for this morning again. Lord, we don't take these times together for granted. Even though we meet like this every week, year in and year out, Lord, we bless you for fresh bread. We bless you for your moving and speaking. We bless you, Lord, for every contribution through your people. We bless you for your word. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all as we continue on with you. Lord, I pray that if in any sense our spiritual senses have been dulled for whatever reason, I pray, Lord, that you quicken us again. Yeah. Lord, may we in these days hear you and what you're saying. May we hear you clearly through whatever means you speak to us. May we hold all of these different ways we've thought about this morning together. May we all be established, rooted and grounded on a sure foundation, Lord. Oh, praise your name. We pray for one another. We pray for all those who are going through various things. Lord, we pray that you would, as we've heard again this morning, that you would really remind us all what a firm foundation we have in you. Bless your name. Give us a fresh hunger and thirst for your word, to read it, to meditate on it, to hear it spoken, to speak it out. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Thank you again for your complete and full provision. And may we make the most of it, Lord. We ask in your wonderful name. Amen.